So that's what's happening. Redemption has taken place in our fallenness, and he begins that by this wonderful, great salvation. And in our studies, we are pressing toward here. Do we come to the heart of the whole thing right here in Philippians in chapter 3, right in the middle of the verses, right in the middle of the chapter, beginning really at 7 and down through 12 and 13. The kingdom goal. And God is about redeeming your life, my dear loved ones. He's about redeeming mine and all that he had planned and purposed me to be, you to be, before the world began. And then we are born into this sinful world, fallen world, and therefore God in his grace and his goodness, he just starts all over in us. So as we've been studying here, now this week we're going to do a little bit of back and forth again, and we must do this. To you, you have to grasp this whole book of Philippians as a whole. It really, you should, every letter in the epistles. And how it all works together. Instead of just focusing on one part in one chapter and another part in another chapter, and as you come to the heat and the heart and the meat of it here, right in the middle of the chapter in chapter 3. It is because of God's so great a salvation in my life in chapter 1. And I rejoice over that. You rejoice over that all the time. And knowing that in these things and in Christ, he's my mind, he's my heart. In my life as we study him and in all his great condescension and humility. And there to the cross. Following the scriptures, we're going to touch a little bit today on in chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, working out your salvation with fear and trembling. So all these are the activities and the actions that's going on in your life. In our warring madness, the song says, and our prideful hearts arrest us, change us. May the fruit of Christ grow in us. This is the journey you're on. It's not about your life and what you want to be and that old me thing. But by the grace of God, he's delivered you out of that. And now, you know, set our hearts at liberty, the song said, from the things in this world. Let me go on. Just growing in him. And actually, Paul talks there in this third chapter, down here in verse 7, what things were gained to me, I count them as loss, and I just gave up, I count all things lost. We're talking here bankruptcy. That's just a hard, bad, nasty word, isn't it? Bankruptcy. He's not talking about financial bankruptcy, but yet he is. Bankruptcy of soul. Because he said, all things is lost. I gave it all up. When you and I, and we'll talk more on this, share more on this next week, Lord willing, bankrupt of soul, reduced to nothing, humbling before the Lord, all things for Christ, handing everything out and see what he gives back, and therefore then to live that and manage that and to his glory and to his praise. But it's human pride that robs us and keeps us. Oh me, keeps us from seeing and knowing and hearing and obeying what God has planned for my life. Every day, you must think on the thought, the truth. One day, I'm not going to be here. I'm going to leave everything behind. And I will stand before the very one who died for me and gave himself for me, who lives for me and intercedes for me, who calls me by his name because he has redeemed me. Now, what am I doing with that? So that's why, what kind of person have you become? You want to know the fullness of God's power here in chapter 3. You want to know his nearness, his glories, and you want to experience heaven in its fullness. So the question that we asked this morning, right now, what kind of a person have you become? Where are you in your journey with Christ? Are you growing in the Lord? You know, everyone is a spiritual person. Everyone. The question is, you are either of the spirit of Christ, born again, lost, the spirit of the Antichrist. Everyone. So that's why we begin here with so great a salvation, and you rejoice in that, as we have covered that different times. Rejoicing in the Lord. So you have a beautiful spirit then as a Christian, or are you mean-spirited? You still have a lot of growing to do. There's still a lot of old me stuff in there. Just the crud of it all. Growing in Christ. So as we move to this chapter 3, into the heart of this, to really understand and know the sweetness and the intimacy of this, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, it all comes down to these three things. Number one, you must be born again. And number two, consecrating yourself unto the Lord, being faithful to his word and obeying him. And number three, you know, serving him. You bring every thought, everything, every matter in your life and by grace into his control. And it's not easy, is it? It's not. But this is his promise, that he will bless and lead. So these things that we'll bring out here tonight. This morning. All right, here. Philippians chapter 3. And let's begin at verse number 7. Then we're going to kind of like slide backwards, okay? But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yes, doubtless, I also count all things loss for the excellency, get it, for the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Do you deem the knowledge of Christ, and not just up here, but he's talking about in here, as the most excellent matter and thing in possession in all of life? Do you? Do you? Do you? Do you? The excellency. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, bankruptcy, and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Paul's one desire, his one desire was to gain Christ, more of Christ, more Jesus, more like the Master I ever desired to be, the old song. More like Jesus. And more about Jesus, what I know. More of his saving grace, his love to others show. And that I may know Christ and be found in him, powerful. Be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is from the law, but that righteousness which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which is from God by faith. That I may know him. It's all the same sentence. The power of his resurrection. The fellowship of his sufferings. Being constantly conformed to his image. Constantly. And I believe we would all agree that it takes the power of Christ in our life that we may live faithfully and profitably in this old flesh, this fallen flesh, which never, ever, ever quits screaming at us to be satisfied and gratified in the things of the world. The battle, the courage, the power to have faith, the power to press on, the power to forgive, the power to consecrate myself unto the Lord, the power to be victorious at every moment, the power and that I may share the gospel with others, the power that I may know and understand and grasp the eternal word and what the word speaks to me. This is all the power of Christ, the power to live at peace with one another, the power to set my priorities in right order, the power to live me and that I may profit in the Lord, the power preparing me for the day when I stand before Jesus Christ and give an account of my life. The beauty of the love of Jesus is that he is just so at work in my life and in your life. So we have a beautiful day as we stand before him in the judgment when that great day. The judgment of my life and how I have served him, blessed him. And so it really slides in with Paul's letter to the church of Corinth and the gold, silver, precious stones. And so is God your gold? Is he your gold? So in all these matters, and as we continue on reading, conform to his death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. He's preparing you. He's changing you. His plan and his purpose. And that's what I want. I want to live my life successfully here in this time zone, in this fallen flesh. I want to know the victory of his power in my life, that I may live the life that God purposed me to live. And it's all about the kingdom. And that's why this song says, lest I miss the kingdom's goal. It didn't say, lest I miss the kingdom. The kingdom's goal, that I be like Christ. That I live out my life in his purpose. That I live successfully under the Lord. Oh, we strive and we love to live successfully, you know, in family matters, in business, in finances, in, you know, in our name and what have you. But living successfully in the kingdom goal. God, what you've created me to be, what you've redeemed me to live. That's what I want. And as he reveals that, you follow him and all the connecting with the will. And so he says here, in as he goes on, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I press on for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. How beautiful is our God. I want you to go back to chapter 1 and verse 12. And here's Paul's words, which they all resonate with us. Chapter 1, verse 12. But I want you to know, brethren, the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. The things which happened to me. All right. I mean, he's in prison. He's chained. He's on death row. He says, I want you to know that the things that happened to me, say that with me, the things that happened to me. Say it again. The things that happened to me. Okay, now we're going to make it present tense. The things that are happening to me. And you can make it future tense. The things that... he says, have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. The things that have happened to me and where he is right now for the furtherance of the gospel. The matters in your own life. The good, the heartache, the sad, the bad, the rough. Things that have come upon you from without and from within. Are they serving? Are they leading you? Are you following the Spirit's leading and actually rejoicing in the Lord? Continuing to rest in his love and his favor? And you're continuing, therefore, to share Christ with others. It's tremendous. The furtherance of the gospel. But so this is Paul's song in a very difficult place. How many have been in a very difficult place in your life, one time or another, right now? And this is his song in a difficult place. He's going to die, and he doesn't deserve to be there. Now, if you will follow things of Paul in Acts and know that he's rejoicing, what's the opposite of rejoicing? Grumbling, complaining, bitterness of soul. Rejoicing in your heart, or bitterness of soul. And he had, right here as he is in these chains, Paul, instead of becoming bitter and rebelling, he's rejoicing. Now, look at this. He says, I got chains on my wrists and shackles on my feet and I'm behind prison bars. But look what happened. The captain of the temple guard. The captain of the temple guard said, this man has done nothing worthy of chains, prison, or death. That's the captain of the prison guard. Now we move on up to Festus, the new governor. As he spoke with Paul, and Paul was on trial, and he stands before the governor says, this man has done nothing worthy of death. Captain of the temple guard, Festus, the new governor. Now we come to King Agrippa, the king. The king says, this man has done nothing worthy of death. So from the king to the governor to the temple guard, and yet here he is in prison, in jail, chained up, soon to be beheaded. So we have the high officials say, he doesn't deserve to be here. He does nothing worthy of death, but here he is. And so we all at times bemoan things, that things happened to me that really wasn't my fault, or here I am in a matter like this that it's just totally unfair. So you want to talk about what's unfair or fair for Paul? Here he is. We talk about unfairness of jobs and paychecks and events that the way they work out when they should be in our favor, but they work out in the opposite way. And as Christians, we struggle with this. We talk about fairness and unfairness with disease, health, life, death, and all the timing of these things. And what's unfair, what's fair? We see how the world lives and seemingly does, ha-ha, they do all right in their wretchedness and wickedness. And we as Christians, we suffer. And it is through these sufferings. But the question I want to ask you this morning, do you have bitterness in your heart and your mind as a Christian because of the things that have happened to you? And in verse 12, and hindering you from the furtherance of the gospel, pressing on to fulfill your calling in life. Or are you rejoicing in the Lord and that knowing his power in chapter 3, 10, and he's leading you in a way and you're obeying in that way, that you're rejoicing in the Lord and all of his goodness in your life, and you just continue to shine for the Lord. You're shining as a light for Christ in a dark world. So that's the question. And so we pause for a moment while you answer that in your heart and in your mind. And the more you believe in a sovereign God, the happier you are, the more at peace you are in the place that you're in. And so living for the Lord, you know, these blessed opportunities that give life. That's your first point. The things that have happened to you are blessed opportunities to give life, which is the furtherance of the gospel. The things that happened to me, verse 12, have actually worked out for the furtherance of the gospel. And you see the evidences of that as you read through Paul there in the book of Acts and all his life experiences. And he's had some pretty rough experiences. And where he finds himself right now, this isn't fair. This is totally not right. I've done nothing worthy of this. But what's he doing? He's rejoicing the Lord because I am not mine own. I am his. I've been bought with a price, so therefore I glorify God in my body. And I press on. I'm just rejoicing because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's sharing the gospel. And you remember how the Philippian jailer gets saved and goes on to all of his household. And so it's the gospel. And so your things that happen to you are blessed opportunities to further the gospel. How are we doing with that? And we believe in Romans 8:28, amen, in that all things happen together, or all things happen for good for those who love the Lord. We quote that verse so many times, but how many times do we really stop and think about it and ingest that and make that applicable to our own personal situation and matter that we're in? And okay, here I am, and whether it is, you know, because of a rise of rebelliousness against the word from within, or situations and matters from without, and I find myself in this situation, in this matter, and the sin that involves me, I must confess that to the Lord, and okay, God, here I am. I want to be faithful in that, in these things which have happened to me, actually, you're going to further the gospel. Most Christians, Here's another one. Most Christians, I think, realize our responsibility to take the gospel to the unsaved. But how many of us really understand the fact and the truth that we are to live our life in blessing other believers? And we go to the night of Jesus and his arrest, and the cross is just about going to happen. And you remember when Jesus said in his prayer, "Father, I sanctify myself for the sake of my disciples here this evening, and for all my disciples in the ages to come. I sanctify myself for them." The blessing that you and I are to others when we sanctify our hearts and our lives, which means set apart and live our life for the Lord. And as you live your life for the Lord, you live your life in a blessing to others. And we all need that, don't we? We need each other. We need each other continually. There just may be things lacking in your life. And only God can fix it. What kind of person are you? How have you matured? Who are you in Christ at this moment in your life? As we study this book of Philippians, is his mind your mind? Are you fighting that good fight of faith? Are you focused on a daily basis? I want to be just what God has called me to be. I don't know how many days I have left. But from this moment onward, I am living for Christ, whatever it's going to cost me. Earlier in my ministry, in my calling, I used to say, you know, I gave up a lot for Christ. I gave up everything, all my farming dreams and what have you. I used to say that. I used to feel that. But it's totally untrue. I didn't give up anything really for Christ. I gained. My wife and I, we gained. We gained in Christ. We came to know and obey in God and his calling what he really wanted for us. We left it go. It still runs in my blood. You know, diesel fumes and dirt. Cows. It's still there. But it's Christ. In Christ alone, and knowing the will of God in your life. So, you know, you have sometimes it's when you're utterly lonely or frustrated, fearful, difficult, when doubt just wants to plunge in you. Sometimes you've got hot coals ready to burst into flames and just fears that are ready just to really pounce on you. Who are you going to call on? Who do you call on? And so as you look here into the Word, and you must be in the Word of God, my dear friends. You must be feeding on His Word. His Word is truth. His Word is life. It's the words of Christ. So as you are faithful in feeding on the Word and you know, reading it and studying it strategically in the matters that are pertaining to your weaknesses right now, the power of the Spirit of God in your life and how deeply He works. So the blessed opportunities that give life and where you are, the kind of a person you are, you know, it does depend a lot on the persons or peoples you are with, who you keep close to you, because you feed on each other, the influences of each other. And a lot of Christian joy and rejoicing has to do a lot with the people we are mostly with. You know, a happy spirit is uplifting. A grumpy spirit certainly is not. And so he just comes here and in this passage, and he says about in verse 12, move there in chapter 12. So in your bitterness of heart and soul, your struggles in life and where you are, and here's where you want to be in your goals as a Christian in likeness of Christ, and these are the things and the matters, and I'm in this old body, this old flesh, and it seems to be getting the best of me.
It's why he says right here in chapter 12, or chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, "Therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good. Submitting to the Lord, walking with him, working out your salvation. And along with the Spirit's ministry in your life and mine, and leading us and teaching us the Word of God and the Scriptures, he leads us to apply what we read, what we study, into our hearts. And therefore the necessity, when you study the Scriptures, leave some time for some meditation on what you've just read. Let the Spirit of God speak to you in your quietness with the truths you just walked through. And knowing that you work it out in fear and in trembling before the Lord. The apostle's words here, you know, and what happens is he says, it is God who works in you, both to will and to do, for he is good. What's he saying? It is God who works in you. He teaches you. He leads you. He reveals the word to you. And then you engage your life, your will, with his will, that it comes to pass. And yet it is God that does it all. It's his grace that leads your will, that you will line your will up with his. That's why he says, work it out. You know as well as I do, as we grow in a Christian life, in Christian maturity, it takes discipline. It takes sometimes some real blood, sweat, and tears to fight against the flesh, and sometimes just to speak boldly for Christ. Work it out. This by, you know, God acts in your life. But your will comes in line with his. It's your choice. And then he does, by his power in your life. The goodness of God, you know, despite what many say that the Bible, well, I just can't understand it. To a Christian who says, I just can never understand the Scriptures. Well, there is truth in that. We can't. But by the Spirit's help, we can't. The immortal mind cannot understand the eternal word. But the problem, be sure this doesn't lie in the fact that I am too lazy to really dig into the word. My heart isn't in the word. My passion is not to be the person that Christ created me to be, redeemed me to be. And so therefore, I'm calling God a liar, number one. Because he's given us his word. And he says, well, this word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. Your word that teaches you all the promises. This word teaches you how I will lead you and guide you and keep you. It has full of warnings and promises. And so we say that as a Christian, I can't understand the Bible. Well, it's because you haven't sat down with the Lord and truly asked him to open up the Scriptures. It's not your passion. It's not your love. It's not your desire. Because if God gave us this word, he's not going to give us something that we cannot understand and grasp, but he will come alongside and teach us it indwells. As he indwells you by his Spirit, it is the Spirit of understanding, and as he leads in our life. So, you know, the very basic teachings of God and the deep things of God. You're not going to understand, and I'm not going to understand the deep things of God till I'm really living victoriously in the basic things, in love and obedience, and that is the key word. And rejoicing in that you have obeyed obedience, not only in my presence, but in my absence. And when you and I stand before Christ one day, in the account of our life, however
it unfolds according to his records. It will always come back to one key word. He'll say, ask the question, did you obey me in this? It comes back to obedience. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust him, what he says in his leading, in his word for your life, and obey it. There's no other way to be happy in life but with Christ. So these life-giving truths in his word are like treasures of wisdom, which Solomon says in Proverbs 2, 4, and 5, if you seek her as silver, if you seek the wisdom of God, the words of God, you pour into the words of God, seeking to know its truth and what it means and applies into your life. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. When you and I discipline ourselves before the Lord, humble ourselves, and search the scriptures, every matter in our life, every difficulty in our life, every tough decision in our life, all these are addressed right here in the Holy Book. Salvation, the promises of, the blessings of, damnation, the warnings of, in the Word of God, how to live your life, how to manage money, how to is to be what God has called you to be, and everything just is all connected together. You got the free gift of salvation, you have the promise of sanctification, that's as you mature in the Lord, and then you have that heavenly glorification when we get home to glory, and we'll be just like Jesus. You're on that journey now. So from the time you were born again in Christ, what kind of a person have you become? Obedient to work out your salvation. You know, if he says, if there's no, you know, in Christ, if you're born again, you're truly born again in Christ, you will never lose your salvation. So then why do we got to work this out in fear and trembling? I think the words of the song said it so clear, lest I come short of the kingdom goal. But knowing that you are a child of God and you are a servant of the Lord, he has bought you with a price, and therefore you're not your own. So glorify God in your body as you lead your life to serve him. And just as the slave doesn't want to disappoint the master and fall short of everything that he is, you know, even if his goal is, you know, whatever perks and whatever kickbacks from the company that may come back. But, you know, the servant that is vigilant for the Lord and serving in his position well, she strives to be all she can and do all she can in the same way for him. I don't want to disappoint the boss. I want in my life to be just one small part of prospering his business. I want my life to be one small part in advancing the kingdom of God. This one who died for me, this king who sits on the throne and prays for me and takes me by the hand and leads me and guides me and helps me, who sits with me and by his spirit, and he teaches me the word. These words are not temporary. These words are eternal. These words will lead you long into eternity in your heart and life. The eternal word of God and just following him. And the knowledge of God's word is available to all. And Jeremiah 29 says, you will seek me and you will find me if you search for me with all your heart. It's a promise. So when people are, when the intimacy of God is void in people's lives, and the peace of God and the power of God and the promises of God and the purpose of God, and you're struggling and you're pressing to keep in the heat of the battle and advancing the kingdom, these are realities. The Lord is with you. Those who wait upon the Lord shall mount up with wings as eagles. He feeds his children. And so the more you passionately study the scriptures and know the scriptures, and what I found is the majesty of the Word just explodes, becomes surreal. The majesty of the word. In chapter 3, as we move on, and you know, that I may profit Christ found in him. And we'll close here at this point today in that where Paul says, if by any means, in verse 11, I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Paul, what he is not saying, I hope I make it. When I die, I hope I'm going to be in heaven, and that is always our hope. But Paul says, by any means, I don't know when I'm going to die. I don't know how I'm going to die, but when I die, I know my body will be left behind and I'm going to glory. And one day I'll be reunited with a glorified body in Christ. If by any means, no matter how I die, if I, you know, get smacked up on 81, if I fall off of something that maybe I shouldn't even be up on, and I fall down and kill myself, or what happens? I die by cancer, I die by this, I die by COVID, I die by that. But in this whole journey, that's what he's saying. Rejoice in all the things that have happened to me. It's all happened for the furtherance of the gospel. And you see where Paul is in his relationship with Christ. And his letter of powerful love and life and encouragement, teaching, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. You don't get to where you are in Christ and maturing in Christ as a Christian unless you are unless you're experiencing the power of the resurrection of the Lord. You're not doing it on your own. Neither am I. It's the power of Christ in me. The same power that he raised himself from the dead is the power that matures his people. I wait upon the Lord. I rest in the Lord. The pattern and in the summary of the ongoing completion of your life in Christ and all through this book of Philippians chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4. And the beauty of it all. The person you are is the person you've become. In your faith in Christ. Your maturity in Christ. Your wisdom in Christ, your love in Christ. How's that showing up for you right now in your life? And what's your plans going forward? As you grow in him, you knowing that at any moment I could be called away in the Lord. What do others experience in your life? Start at home. At work. It's Christ in you. The hope of glory. Not only for you personally, but for others. And people say, oh, when the going gets tough, the world says, pull up your bootstraps. Try a little harder. And I've heard preachers say that. Try going, try a little harder. Well, what happens when you try a little harder and you still blow it? Well, you're worse than you were before. The only way to buckle down and pull up your bootstraps and get on with it is to humble down. Humble down. Look up to Jesus. Cry out to him. He says, I got you, my child. In my strength and power, you will live. Don't try to handle your own matters. Look unto the Lord, the author and perfecter of our faith. God, we thank you. Just thank you. We bless your name. That we may rejoice always wherever we are right now, we'll lay hold of it and claim it for God's glory. And let your light shine through us. We're all going to leave this life at some time. And we are racing and rushing toward that day. And God, we want to be found faithful every day for kingdom's glory. And we want to reach that kingdom goal in our life to be all I can be, to fulfill God's plan and purpose in my life. Living victoriously, knowing his power in big things and in small things. Inch by inch, a little here and a little there, growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. That I will be counted worthy in my life of such a great gospel given to me. Oh God, we're thankful for your word, and Paul is just really laying himself out here. You put it in the eternal word and of just who he is and his personal relationship with the Lord and the passion of his heart. May we follow. May we be like-minded. We bless you in Jesus' wonderful name. And all God's people said, amen.